Associates of Emporia has experienced physical therapists who have provided quality care to our community for more than 35 years. Our mission is to empower individuals to achieve optimal health and well-being through personalized, compassionate, and innovative physical therapy services. We know you have the choice where you receive physical therapy, and we want to thank you for choosing PT Associates. Contact us at 620-208-7878. PT Associates of Emporia, located at the corner of 12th and Industrial.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
Live from the historic Roger Hartsick Interview Room on the former campus of the College of Emporia, this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. And a good Saturday morning to you. Blake Cripps, Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood, all in studio with you here today as we'll be talking Emporia High basketball today. Unfortunately, Tim, not a ton of actual basketball to talk about.
No game related topics. Certainly,
no games at all.
So yeah, it's been a rough stretch here as far as weather and cancellations, and I don't want to be the one who's trying to reschedule all this stuff that we're missing now.
Me neither. The snow that we were, you know, had originally, it said, oh, half inch on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I can tell you, because Don and I were driving back from it.
A
little bit more than a half of an inch. And so Dylan's been doing a good job trying to keep track of everything. But we will be talking Emporia High basketball. And, well, Taylor Scott showed up early, so we might as well just bring you on, Coach. How are you doing this morning?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Just fine. I can imagine that this has to be a little bit, and she's having practice today, which, talking to you here before we came on the show, you guys need practice because you've missed so much practice time this week.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, not only missing games, but when we don't have school, obviously we can't practice as well. So it's hard to be consistent and consistently in the routine of things when you have practice one day and then you can't the next day. And there's just a lot of back and forth with that.
So with especially, is it especially challenging with a younger team that is, you know, kind of unused to being on the varsity level? I mean, I feel like last year's squad did have to go through this because there was a ton of schedule adjustments last year, but you guys were able to weather that because of all the senior leadership you had on this team. Obviously, that's not available this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's hard for everybody for sure. I mean, obviously, since we are young, we don't have quite that consistency yet. That's kind of been a theme that we've been talking a little bit about the last week, is just showing up consistently and having consistently good practices. So, yeah, I would say it's a little bit more of a challenge maybe with a younger group, but definitely for everybody.
Well, and two, getting back to the theme of having a young team, and now you have a break to where you could get some valuable practice time, and to not get that has to be a little bit disconcerting, disappointing.
Yeah, and I think they get frustrated too, because they want to be there. You know, they want to be there getting shots up. They want to be there nailing down our offense. They want that routine too. So it's something that they crave as well. And when the kids are noticing it, yeah, I think they get a little bit frustrated with not being able to be in the gym.
We're talking with Taylor Scott. She is the head girls basketball coach for the Emporia High Lady Spartans. Obviously, for people who are unaware about the schedule adjustments, they are playing on Tuesday. League matchup against Hayden, so that's the next time you can see the Spartans and Lady Spartans in action. Of course, we'll have the coverage on the Voice of the Spartans, KVOE, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM. So I guess overall, since we were probably going to be talking about this first week, just give us your overall thoughts on first semester, you coming in, and how you feel like things are going with the transition. Obviously, a lot of comfortability with you being there for the girls because you were there and coached a lot of these girls previously, but a new role for you, and all, as we said earlier, a brand new team. So there's a lot for everybody to figure out with so much gone off last year's team. How do you feel like the first semester went?
You know, I've really enjoyed the first semester. There's obviously a little bit of a learning curve with it being my first year in this role and the girls' first year stepping into that varsity role. But, you know, even though they're young, we've kind of told them it is what it is, and you're going to have to step into those roles and you're going to have to embrace them, and it's not going to be easy. And so we talk about, you know, our focus isn't always on the scores of our games, obviously. We've got goals, and we have to kind of break it down besides just the score of our game, and we got to focus on those little things, and that's going to improve us kind of over the years to come as well.
I mean, do you like the growth of the team? I mean, obviously it hasn't equated into wins yet, as you just alluded to, but how about the growth that you saw those first, I guess, what, six games you've gotten in?
Or five.
Five games?
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely a lot of growth, and that comes all the way down from the bottom, the JV level, and all the way up to the varsity level. We're starting to see some of those girls that are getting varsity time get more comfortable, get more physical. So, yeah, I think there has been a lot of growth so far this season.
Well, Coach, I've had multiple conversations with Coach over the last week or so, and I've only had to air one of them. Let me ask you, since we last talked on Thursday, we were doing pregame for last night. How was things Thursday in practice before you were knowing you were going to play Hayes on last night? But then, of course, school gets canceled from yesterday.
We had a really good practice Thursday, actually. I was excited to play Friday because I thought we came in Thursday and we had a lot of energy and we were really optimistic and we were really upbeat. And we just, there was really good vibes at practice on Thursday. So I thought our last practice that we had was really good. And so our emphasis today, whenever we go in later, is going to be to just build off of that last practice Thursday that we had that was good and develop that consistency.
We're talking with Taylor Scott. She's the head girls basketball coach for Emporia High. And Coach, obviously at this point in the year and maybe even this whole season, you know, maybe the wins and losses aren't going to matter. It's about establishing a foundation for the future. And when you're not getting wins, that is mentally challenging. Nobody goes out for the team. And as somebody who was on the a part of the program for the worst team in his school's history, Topeka West, one win. It was terrible, Tim, a terrible year. I know exactly what that is like. But you need people on the roster. They're going to keep everybody upbeat and keep everybody coming back to the team, coming back to work the next day. Who are those girls in the locker room that are trying to keep optimistic and keeping that positivity in practice that you talked about?
You know, honestly, most of our girls have really, really positive attitudes about that kind of thing so far. Sydney Beheimer, though, is one that strikes me as a kid that she just, if you've ever talked to that kid, you can't not smile when you're talking to Sydney. You know, she's just so upbeat.
Dylan's
so
nodding up and down.
I agree. I see the energy. I see the energy during games and whenever I come out and say hi at practice. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, energy is a good word to describe her for sure. Energy and optimism. But, you know, we have other girls that are a little bit more quiet than Sydney, too, that still are really positive. Kinsley Hines is one of the first ones to always be supportive of her teammates. And she does it in a way that's very quiet, and you might not necessarily notice it just because she's not quite as loud as Sydney. But she's always there in the background supporting her teammates and clapping or telling them good job or helping them up off the ground or whatever it is. And then Jade Aguirre, you know, she's really stepped up for us this year. She's, you know, a freshman point guard, which isn't always an easy role, especially in our league. But we've had her sit out of a couple practices recently because she's been kind of dealing with a little bit of an injury. But her presence is missed during practice. So she's another one that I think, even though she's not always exactly the loudest, she's always out there kind of commanding the floor. And her presence is definitely really huge for us, too.
You know, despite youth and inexperience that we've talked about, do you think do most of them understand the process that they're having to go through in terms of growth, in terms of getting the experience on the court, even though that may be frustrating because it doesn't equate into wins? Do you think they have a grasp of what's basically trying to be built?
Oh, I think so. I think it's something that we talk about definitely during practice, you know, and during the games too, because it might be that we're down in a game, but okay, here's your goal for the next few minutes, or here's your goal for the rest of this quarter, or next quarter, this is what we're really going to focus on. So I hope that we're doing a pretty good job of emphasizing to them that it's not necessarily all wins and losses right now, but there's things that we've got to do to keep building and keep growing throughout the games and throughout practices.
Well, now it's going to be a busy stretch coming up for the Lady Spartans, especially with the makeup with Hayes coming up on Tuesday night now. Washburn Rule, they suffered their second loss last night to Hayden, and Hayden's good. Hayden's good, everybody, and I'm going to say this, but I think Hayden's probably going to win the Centennial League. But, Coach, this is a big stretch coming up. You got two really good opponents ranked. You go to Independent coming up that Tuesday, and then you'll make up that game with Hayden on the the 24th. So, and then that's right before Glacier's Edge. So this is a busy stretch here in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a really busy stretch against some really good basketball teams. But I know the girls are dying to get back to playing games, so we're all really excited about it.
Well, final question for you. You've got the Hayes team, obviously, on Tuesday. But overall, you know, your focus on January, if there's one area that you'd like to see improvement in on the floor, I know that there's probably a bunch of areas that you'd need to see an improvement in to get back to where the program that you were a part of has been at the last few years. What do you feel like is the first step, or maybe the most important step, whether it be offense, defense, transition, in order to get back to where Lady Spartan basketball has been?
Honestly, we've talked a lot about consistency, but if you're talking about specifically like a skill, rebounding has been kind of a point of emphasis for us. You know, Emporia is always the undersized team. We're never the team that's got, you know, the big long girls and the girls that can jump and, you know, all that stuff. So really focusing on just going and putting a body on somebody and not being afraid of that physical contact. And then once we get the rebound, just being strong with it and not letting the other team kind of rip it out of our hands. So that's been a pretty big point of emphasis for us this last week or so.
Yeah, definitely. They were really good last year, but you definitely did not have an abundance of size last year, but you guys were tough.
Yeah.
And hopefully that toughness is still there. And obviously with so many seniors being replaced, it's going to be a process to get things back, and going to take a few classes probably, but hopefully everybody is patient, gives you the time to continue to build the program back up. Really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great practice today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Taylor Scott, head basketball coach for the Emporia High Spartans. We've got more Saturday Morning Sports Talk coming up here right after this on KVOE Live and Local.
At Long Vine Auto Plaza in Emporia, we're kicking off the new year with Fast Start savings on new Chevrolet cars, trucks, and SUVs. Start the new year with savings, like a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck with over $7,250 below MSRP with a current Chevy trade. Or get a 2024 Silverado 1500 Custom Crew Cab 4x4 for only $449 per month. 36-month, 36,000-mile lease with $5,000 trade equity or cash. Or if you're looking for a compact truck, come see the Chevy Colorado models. And check out our inventory of Chevy EV models, including Trailblazer and Equinox models. And we're offering top dollar for your quality trade-in, too. You'll get our best deal every day at Long Vine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us today or visit us 24/7 at longvineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The football program with the most FCS national championships just added another.
Wobbler of a kick, nobody back deep. It rolls inside the 20, 2 second, 1 second. That's how the game ends on the punt. North Dakota State rushes the field. Title number 10.
Ted Emmerich right here on Westwood One as the Bison from North Dakota State knocked off previously undefeated Montana State 35-32 in Monday's FCS championship game. This NDSU team was led by first-year head coach Tim Polasek, who was a longtime assistant with the Bison before departing in 2017. Now back in Fargo as the head man, he's delivered the program their record 10th national title.
I don't think the nation knows what we went through. This day and age, everybody came back except one guy. And it's such a credit to the Fargo community, the university, and Bison Pride.
The Division III football champs, next on This Week in the NCAA.
If you love to travel, Capital One has a rewards credit card that's perfect for you. With Venture X, earn unlimited double miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges where you just check in and chill out. Open up a world of possibilities with Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
third D3 football national title in program history. The Cardinals from Illinois defeated powerhouse Mount Union 41-25 to win their second championship in the past three seasons. North Central was led by quarterback Luke Lanen, who won the last two Gagliardi trophies, given to the most outstanding player in Division III football. That's this week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. We're going a little bit out of order here today with Coach Scott getting out to practice at 9 o'clock today, taking the practice time when you can get it.
Absolutely.
And so we'll just go ahead and roll right into our second interview. Lee Baldwin, Emporia High boys basketball team here, is with us as, once again, Coach, you know, we were supposed to be talking about first week of 2025 and getting back to it. Well, not so fast, so I guess we'll ask you about the first semester. And first of all, I guess the time off, I'm sure probably you wanted some time off, needed some time off for the mandatory 1 week or 5 days for the KSHSAA. So that was probably good to get off, but now I bet you're probably ready. I bet the guys are ready to get back to playing some actual games.
Yeah, they're tired of practicing, and I don't blame them. I mean, you know, when you're practicing that long and you know there's no game coming up, you know, the challenge every day is, one, to get better at practice, make it productive. And, you know, to keep the intensity level at a level that is needed for a game. So that's not just a challenge for us. That's just a challenge for the majority of coaches currently in Kansas right now, is can you continue to get better at practice, knowing that, you know, for like us, it's going to be a month before we play a game.
Right.
It's pretty challenging stuff there.
Well, and two, with your guys, I mean, you had a good first semester, played some good basketball, so I imagine – this long of a time period off, you have to be a little bit concerned. Okay, what do they look like now when we actually get into a game situation?
Sure. You know, I would say there's three or four places in a schedule, ideally, that you're like, all right, we feel good that this is going to be a win. And one of those is your first game back after Christmas break. And, you know, with cancellations and the way our schedule's changed now, I mean, next week, it's Hayes and Washburn right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And with a month off, like you said, you're always concerned with how you're going to come out. And with that high level of competition, we don't have a lot of luxuries to come out slow and ease our way into a game. I mean, the competition level's going up right from the get-go. So, you know, hopefully we're ready to go next week.
Are you glad that this Hayes doubleheader was able to fit in here on Tuesday? You guys were able to make it up sooner than later?
Absolutely. You know, based off already having the Hayden game canceled, and then obviously the proximity to Hayes and from Hayes, you know, there was concern that if it wasn't going to get made up this week, it was going to be pretty hard to get that made up, period. Mm-hmm. And with us practicing as much as we have, you want the kids to be able to play. So I'm glad we're able to get this in this week, and hopefully this is the last of cancellations.
We would hope so. We also hope so. We're talking with Lee Baldwin, head basketball coach for Emporia High. Overall structure of practice, you had to deal with this last year as well, because it seems like there was a whole month of cancellations and postponements with snow and ice last year. I don't know if it's like this every year at Emporia. I brought it with me from Wichita, I apologize. I don't remember this being like this in Wichita. But how do you, when you know that the weather is going to be challenging, does it change the way that you structure practice when you're not playing? And if it does, how does it change the practice?
Not really. I mean, obviously over Christmas break, you want to do some different things to work on conditioning and, you know, skill development, those types of things. But as we neared game preparation with Hayden and Hayes, we started watching film on those teams. We started practicing with what they do. So our practices were more game specific at that point. You know, like when we practice today, we'll talk about Hayes again. So I think the closer you get to games, even if they are potentially postponed, the focus is on your opponent and then going from there.
Talk a little bit about the individual development of your guys, what you've seen.
I think we've had some guys take some huge steps forward. You know, not to make anybody's more significant than others, but, you know, when you brought that up, one of the first persons that I thought about was Ryland Krell. I mean, he averaged, I don't think I'm overstepping here, I think he averaged less than 2 points a game last year.
I think that sounds about right.
And he's averaging 12. I mean, when you take a 10-point leap in 1 year, that's pretty good stuff. I mean, he went from playing, you know, sparingly to averaging 12 a game at the 5A level. And, you know, he had a career high against Great Bend, who will be at the state tournament. So, you know, when you're putting up 18 points against a high-quality team like that, when you the previous year you're averaging 2 a game, that's pretty good stuff. You know, just some other underclassmen I think are making huge steps forward. You know, obviously Harrison Trelk taking ownership of being a point guard when that's not naturally his, you know, first position to play. You know, I think that's a huge compliment to a sophomore that, hey, this is not, you're kind of out of position right here, but you're going to play point guard, and not only going to do that, you're going to do 90% of the ball handling, and you're going to play 30 minutes a game as a 15-year-old. Good luck. You know, and I think for him to do that, it's been pretty impressive. You know, we got the right mix of, we got four seniors and four non-seniors in our rotation, so, you know, we figured out that that's a good place to be is when you can play eight guys. And I think for us to continue to move forward, we just, you know, just got to keep at it, and hopefully we make some shots when it matters most. And, you know, I feel good with where we're at.
I mean, this is a, you mentioned a big stretch, especially this coming week with Hayes and Washburn Rule. And Washburn Rule is good, and they had a solid game at Hayden last night, and I learned about Rule a little bit last night, and I didn't realize this, but they're small, Coach, but they're going to be fast.
They are small. They do have three guards that all could be first-team all-league players.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you would – if you ask a coach, what would you rather have, size or skill, they would take skill every time. And they have three guys that can all dribble, pass, and shoot. And if you would have to have that or a bunch of size that can't do those things, you would take the latter. So, yes, they do not have size, but they can dribble, pass, and shoot. And from a coach's perspective, that puts a ton of stress on you defensively to where you can't just guard one or two people. So far this year, you know, we've had Nolan, you go take away their best player. And then we'll deal with everything else. Well, against Washburn, you can't do that because they have three really good players.
Yeah.
So that'll be the first team we've played that has that many really good players, which, you know, we all know that the more really good players you have, the better your team.
Yeah. So sure.
I don't think I'm saying anything that's rocket science right there. So,
sure.
Yeah, they're going to be a load for sure. And then conversely, Hayes is – you know, got a ton of size. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see two completely different styles of play. One very methodical, want to play in the half court, run a ton of set plays, and then Washburn's just going to spread you out and try to drive you. So two completely different styles of play this week, which is fun. It's just going to be very challenging.
We're talking with Coach Lee Baldwin, head coach of the Emporia High basketball teams. One thing you said late in the first semester, I think it was a loss to Great Bend. You were talking to Dylan after the game. You said, man, that's kind of been in the games that we've lost, it's been close right down to the wire, and we just haven't been able to get stops down the stretch. How do you emphasize that in practice? Because, you know, you guys, it seems like, in my 2 years at least, you guys put yourself in position to be in these games. So I guess what's the next step in trying to put yourself in position to get on the winning edge of those games to make that return trip to state?
You know, so far in my 2.5 years here, outside of, I would say, three losses, they've all come down to the last minute or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with our guys, it's really important because we're going to play in a lot of close games. Scoring is something that's going to kind of be hit and miss for us. That when it is late in the last 3 minutes, for example, you know, we're up three against Great Bend with 2.5 minutes left. They throw up a a floater that ideally you want every high school kid in America to shoot a floater. If we get that rebound right there, we're up three, bringing the ball up with under 2.5 minutes left, and we're going to be in the bonus if they foul us. So if we get that rebound right there, our chances of winning that game go up exponentially. We missed that rebound. Now, that's not to say that was the only reason we lost, but I think when we – the style of play that we play, where we're going to play in the high 40s to low 50s, when it's tight like that at the end of the game, every one of those rebounds is even more magnified than they are in the first quarter. So just trying to get to our guys to understand that late in the game, those 50-50 balls have to be ours, because if they're not, we're, you know, something bad's going to happen. And that's kind of what happened against Great Bend. We didn't get that rebound. They scored. Then they pressed us. We immediately turned it over, and they scored again. So in an 8-second stretch, we went from up three with the ball potentially to down one. And then the crowd just going nuts. And, you know, that changes the whole game. And that 8-second stretch could be the difference between being 4-1 and ranked in 5A. And, whoa, you beat Great Bend to having a month off and having your last game as a loss. So there's just our margin for error is very small. And, you know, those are types of things that if we get better at those, I think we can have a really good year versus that one, man, if we'd just done that differently, what could have been? And so that's the exciting part, but also the frustrating part where we're really close. And the good news is we can control that.
Mm-hmm. Give us an update on your thoughts as far as the other programs, the freshmen, the junior varsity, how things gone there.
Both teams are 2-0. I feel we got a good freshman group. I feel bad for them because they've had to practice so long without playing games. I mean, both of our freshmen have played 2 games. So we started practicing 2 months ago. So theoretically in 2 months they've played 2 games, which is
– sounds awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds awful. So, you know, and then we've tried to talk to them coming from middle school, where when you're in middle school, your season is, you know, it's an 8-week season, and the majority of your season is playing games. You hardly get a practice, and your season just flies by. Now, conversely, you get to high school, and now for 8 weeks is all you've done is practice. So it's a completely different format. So trying to keep those guys, you know, excited about practice, coming to practice, working hard when, you know, you don't have a game. You know, like, for instance, if we'd played Hayden on Tuesday, they didn't have a C team. So our guys have been practicing since Christmas break, knowing that their first game back is not when everybody else's is. So those are some challenges that you have that, you know, not everybody prepares for, or doesn't happen in different sports, but – they're 2-0. You know, they're playing well. They're just chomping at the bit to play again. JV were 2-0 as well. Had a game against Great Bend where, you know, had a long layoff. So naturally, when you have a long layoff and you're driving 2.5 hours, you're going to be rusty. But they did a good job of coming back and winning that game. So they're ready to play some more games too. But I feel good with where our program is. You know, each year, stylistically, it's going to change how we play, what we do offensively. But, you know, if your sub-varsity groups haven't lost yet, that's always a good sign.
How big is it to get a lot of momentum going into the Blue Stem Classic? 2 wins this next week would be huge for your ball club heading to El Dorado.
I mean, yeah, that would be great to go.
that would be nice.
You know, I mean, if you could potentially get 2 wins next week, I mean, I'll sign up for that every time. So that would be really nice to be able to take that momentum going into our mid-season tournament. But the rest of this year, you know, outside of, you know, looking at our schedule, outside of 2 or 3 games, I think every game that we play from here on out, we're going to have to play really well to win. And that's not an indictment on our guys. That's just – we're going to play a lot of really good teams. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of teams on our schedule I think we can beat, but there's also a lot of teams on our schedule that if we don't bring it, we're not going to win. So there's going to be that constant pressure of we need to be playing our best. And, you know, that's the challenge, is bringing our best every night.
Well, Coach, last thing for you here. You've had a couple of games that you've got to experience the shot clock. You've had most of your games, the Centennial League, kind of opting out of the shot clock in the limited, you know, kind of dip your toe in the water. What have you thought about it in the games that you've gotten to play with it in trying it out this year in this trial period?
You know, I may have a differing view on it. I really don't think it's going to matter that much. You know, we did it at Liberal, but the style of game didn't require a lot of possessions where the shot clock was involved. You know, I think with other teams and other leagues, the way the style of play is going to impact that shot clock. You know, I've talked to coaches with the shot clock that, you know, off of a make or a miss, they're going to press to, you know, slow you down and make you have to run offense for 25 seconds versus 35. Obviously, our league is not doing it right now with this trial run, and but it will be down there at the midseason tournament. It's not something we talk about a lot of practice. It's not something we practice a lot. I think if it were something that, you know, 10 to 12 possessions a game, we're having to throw up a 35-footer because we're not getting anything. I think that means the other team are playing really good defensively.
Sure.
So, you know, I think we'd have to adjust that way. But so far for me and who I've talked to, it really hasn't been that big of an impact. Now, in a year from now, that could change. Mm-hmm. But I think the idea of having it is to speed games up and not let teams take the air out of the ball, you know, and play games that are 20 to 17. Nobody wants to watch that.
No.
I would say even moving forward, you know, 35 seconds – you know, even at the college level, I mean, how many times do you see a shot clock violation in 35 seconds? It doesn't happen very often. So, you know, now at the NBA level with 24, that happens, you know, there's a chance of that happening a lot more. So, so far it hasn't been a big issue for us, but, you know, if it's something that continues to stay in vogue with 35 seconds, I'm completely fine with that.
Emporia High back to action, taking on Hayes. That'll be the makeup on the 14th, and then the regularly scheduled games against Washburn Rural. And then after that, into tournament season for Emporia High. The girls will have a game against Wichita Independent on the 21st, and then the Blue Stem Classic the 23rd through the 25th for the Emporia High boys. But next up, the Emporia High Spartans against Hayes, 5:45 for the pregame and 6 o'clock for the tip-off. You can hear that game on Tuesday with the voice of the Spartans, Dylan Sherwood, on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. Coach, I know you've got practice today, so
Sir.
Have a good practice
Thank
with
you.
The guys. Appreciate your time.
Appreciate you guys bringing me in.
We will be back. We'll take another time out, kind of going in reverse today, but we'll be back with Coach, with Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs. He is next here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com.
Home inventory in Emporia continues to be tight. A mortgage pre-approval from Emporia State Federal Credit Union can give you a leg up with sellers, proving you're a serious buyer with the means to purchase a home. With a short phone call to Jared Gurman or Isabel Garcia, or easy online application, you can be pre-approved. Tell your realtor you'll be using Emporia State Federal Credit Union to finance your new home. Equal housing lender insured by NCUA, NMLS 424-226.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
At Longvine Auto Plaza in Emporia, we're kicking off the new year with Fast Start savings on new Chevrolet cars, trucks, and SUVs. Start the new year with savings, like a new 2024 Chevy Silverado 1500 LT Crew Cab 4x4 truck with over $7,250 below MSRP with a current Chevy trade. Or get a 2024 Silverado 1500 Custom Crew Cab 4x4 for only $449 per month. 36-month, 36,000-mile lease with $5,000 trade equity or cash. Or if you're looking for a compact truck, come see the Chevy Colorado models.
And check out our inventory of Chevy EV models, including Trailblazer and Equinox models. And we're offering top dollar for your quality trade-in, too. You'll get our best deal every day at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. So come see us today or visit us 24/7 at longbineauto.com. Chevy, together, let's drive.
I'm Jim Baskel. We kick it off with the second college football playoff semifinal, offering Texas, Ohio State. The Buckeyes got a big play from their D late.
Fourth and goal. Here's Ewers. Snap. Hit by Sawyer. Ball's loose. Sawyer comes up with it. Running down the right sideline. 40 to the 50-yard line. Sawyer to the 30. Jack Sawyer to the 20. To the 10. To the end zone. Touchdown. Jack Sawyer. The defensive end coming up with the biggest play in Arlington, Texas. That could have Ohio State headed to Atlanta.
And it did. Mark Kestisher, ESPN Radio. Jack Sawyer, 83 yards the other way off the fumble from Quinn Ewers with 2:13 to go. Ohio State beating Texas 28-14. They play Notre Dame January 20th for the national title, open as a 9.5-point favorite, according to ESPN Bet. The NFL playoffs kick off today with the Chargers and Texans 4:30 Eastern, followed by the Steelers and Ravens. From the NBA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, 39. Thunder roll the Knicks at Madison Square Garden 126-101. Pelicans suspend Zion Williamson on a day that C.J. McCollum scored 38, and they beat the Sixers 123-115. Paolo Banchero returned for the Magic, scored 34, but it wasn't enough. Giannis 41, Bucks over the Magic 109-106. Domantas Sabonis 23 points, career high 28 rebounds. Kings over the Celtics 114-97. Nikola Jokic and Russell Westbrook each had triple-doubles as the Nuggets best the Nets 124-105. Tyrese Haliburton, Pascal Siakam each with 25. Pacers get past the Warriors 108-96. In the college ranks, Jacoby Gillespie's 27 points led Maryland over number 22 UCLA 79-61. NHL, Nick Suzuki, the OT winner. Canadians take the Capitals. That final is 3-2.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket, and the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop, Swiffer Power Mop.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Break up with stinky clothes.
Rinse it out.
Every now and then I get a little bit tired of the stinks, so dust will never come out.
Pour Downy in the rinse shade.
Every now and then I rinse it out. One wash and it delivers.
One wash, it smells so clean.
Downy Rinse and Refresh, it's a dream.
Downy Rinse and Refresh. Fights odor in just one wash. Guaranteed.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday morning sports talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Well, we kind of went in reverse order here today with the coaches first.
Yes.
Without our roundtable because of Coach Scott coming in early, needing to get out to practice at 9. But overall, I think it worked out. We're just a few minutes away here from Mitch Holthus. So this would be the normal spot, doing it this way, that we would talk about our Emporia Main Street Athletes of the Week. Of course, but there's just not much sports in order to pick from. So we're going to not do that this week because there's just not a whole lot of sports to actually talk about for Emporia High Main Street Athletes of the Week or area Main Street Athletes of the Week.
Yeah, there's just not a real opportunity to get nominees when they're not playing. It's funny how that works that way.
You know? So, I think we had plenty. We're going to do it throughout the second semester, obviously, so we're looking forward to it. But no Main Street Athletes of the Week this week just because everybody kind of got snowed out a little bit. And so So we've got no Main Street Athletes of the Week, but Dylan, next week, assuming that we are going to play, Dylan would like your nominations. So if you had an athlete that had a great performance during the week, you can get a hold of Dylan, 342-1400, or email him, SherwoodD@KVOE.com, or make your submission online, KVOE.com/athlete. Time for a weekly visit with the voice of the Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity. Terms and conditions apply. Subject to credit approval. NMLS number 424-226. Mitch, how's the bye week going for the Kansas City Chiefs?
Well, it's actually going very well. It's been productive for everyone. The guys got a couple days off, but they've been at it. They were at it yesterday. They're at it today. They'll be at it tomorrow. And then we'll have our opponent by tomorrow afternoon. We'll know by 4 o'clock, and we zoom on.
Well, Mitch, I'm sure like everyone else, you'll be sitting back and watching these wild card games. My question is this, and I know – it doesn't matter who the Chiefs play, certainly, because they've beaten everybody in the playoffs except for the Bills this year. Is there a team out there, though, that you've watched maybe over the last few weeks where there's a little thing in the back of your mind saying, you know, I'd rather not play those guys. I'd rather play somebody else.
You know, it's a great question, and there's a couple dynamics here. One, and you might have inferred this, but we have played every team in the AFC tournament. I don't really remember ever that happening where we played everybody that's in the playoffs. But here's what's also unique. We have played every one of those teams since December the 10th. And in this crazy, condensed, just madhouse December, we played the AFC teams. Now, other than Buffalo, I should say, I guess, Buffalo. But I'm talking the four teams that we could potentially play. So take Buffalo and Baltimore out of that. I was thinking of the four teams we could potentially play next weekend. We've all played since December the 10th. So my answer to you is Andy Reid traded me long ago. It doesn't matter. I could give you a plus and minus on every team, and you're going, well, it'd be good to play Pittsburgh because they're leaking oil. But there's also one thing, Tim, that all four of those potential opponents can do. One common denominator between all four teams is they all have wicked pass rushes. All of them. And so whomever you play presents some peril. And then, you know, I could also give you reasons why we could beat all four of those teams. So I'm giving you a wishy-washy kind of answer, but I'm telling you, Andy Reid trained me 10 years ago, 12 years ago. Bring it on. Let's go. Who is it? Let's beat him.
Mitch, how big is health right now with the bye week? And, you know, last week we're able to have some guys out, and I know I've heard a little bit about DJ Humphries, just kind of an update on you know, everyone getting back to full strength heading into the playoffs with the divisional round next weekend.
That's the other crazy thing, Dylan, is we would have a chance to have all hands on deck, which, again, I don't know how long it's been since we've had, like, full boat of dudes going into the playoffs. Now, you'll lose guys. Remember last year, Joe Tooney was hurt in the AFC Championship game. Actually, was hurt in the divisional game and didn't play the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl. Charles Omenihu had a good postseason up until he got injured in the AFC Championship, didn't play in the Super Bowl. So you're going to lose guys. But other than, you know, the long-term guys on IR, everybody that is pertinent right now, Pacheco with his ribs, Juwan Taylor with his knee injury, and gosh, who am I leaving out? Everybody, there's just green lights right now all over the board, and I don't remember that happening for a long time.
We're talking with Mitch Holtis here, getting set for the Chiefs game next weekend, bye week this week for the Chiefs as the top seed in the AFC. You've talked a lot about the training camp type of atmosphere that the Chiefs have earned the right to have over this, you know, because of the season that they've had. And there's been a lot of conversation, particularly from people up there in Cincinnati, about, oh, how bad this is and how unfair it is. The Chiefs have to, you know, don't play Denver. They don't try against Denver. And so we get left out of the playoffs, which I think is a bunch of junk. And you know, people talking, trying to equate this to load management in the NBA, where the Chiefs took one game off this year. But we're supposed to think that taking 12 games off in the NBA is okay and accepted for them. How has that conversation struck you during this time, as you've had a little bit more time with you know, less game prep to do for this specific week? It's just been crazy to me to hear all these people talk about, you know, how bad this is for the game, where the Chiefs took off one game this year, you know, versus the NBA, where it's, you know, every other game somebody's being load managed.
Well, people are losing their mind by the day. Like, I think they're just drifting down the Ohio River. I don't know where they're going. What are you guys thinking? There's no logic to it. And then the conversation of, man, you got to get the bye. You got to fight for the bye. You got to work for the bye. And then when you get the bye, they're like, oh, no, this is the worst thing ever. Like, you purposely left Cincinnati out. It's just ludicrous. Now, we've also seen a rising... You can put a thumb drive full of dudes and gals who say ludicrous statements about the Chiefs. I've lived this life when I did basketball for ESPN. Like, you're sitting in a production meeting, and the producer's going, hey, you know what, bring up the Chiefs, like, keeping the Bengals out. Let's do that, because that'll get some clickbait. Let's just clickbait this baby up. And then Dan Orlovsky goes, yeah, I'll do it. I'm a willing participant. And then I'll just say ludicrous, stupid stuff. And so it's just... I don't even know. I have another adjective beyond ludicrous to study. I was headed toward asinine, and then that's probably not good. Lord, don't want me to do that. So it's just stupid. Now, you talk about prep. So I've kind of used it basically the way the team has used it, and that is a look at us, dive into us. There's some fascinating things that I think part of the discussion this morning, and if people want to later, before they watch those two games, Matt McMullen, you know, our senior team reporter, and I, we do a podcast called Defending the Kingdom. This week, it is E squared equals question mark, like solve the variable. But the E squared is what I think the Chiefs are taking into the playoffs, and that is an experience. That's the first E. Unusual, young, playoff, success, experience. Let me just give you some numbers. The Chiefs will take into the playoffs, in their current roster, 290 playoff wins. The defensive backs are 39-2.
Wow.
In the playoffs. And the two losses are Justin Reed's as a Houston Texan. And one of those two are to the Kansas City Chiefs. Here's another one. These are fun. The offensive line is 44-6. Okay. Of those six, one of those is Juwan Taylor's to the Kansas City Chiefs as a Jacksonville Jaguar. And the other three, or three of the others, are Joe Tooney's, and all three were as a New England Patriot. Here's another one. The linebackers are 21-3 in the postseason, and one of those is a New England loss for Joshua Uche and a Drew Tranquil loss as a Charger. The point is, this is just an amazing run over the past couple of years of young players who've won big-time playoff games in a tough span. The second A I'll get into in a second. I don't want to give you too long of an answer. But the point is, when you dive into our team, there are some dynamics, regardless of the opponent, that are pertinent and activated as you go into next week's game against whomever.
Mitch, is there much to be made about the Denver game at all? I mean...
No.
Resting, yeah, I mean, I
You know what? I will say, no, I'm going to back up. What I felt coming out of that game, you know, Art Haynes, he interviews me on postgame, and it's Art Haynes from Springfield. He's going to ask me the question. He goes, worst loss to the Broncos in history. I'm like, all right, don't put this game in any kind of historical context. Mm-hmm. So you can mouthwash that. But, Tim... To me, the feeling coming out of that game was the same feeling I had when we went 0-3 in the preseason. And that is, who's the next Nick Allegretti? Who's the next Mike Caliendo? Because where we draft and in our dynamics of our salary cap, we have got to keep developing those guys. The other area would be linebacker. We're just really, really super thin at linebacker. I just gave you the stat on playoffs, but a bulk of that is the 9-1 playoff record of Bolton. So what do we got? What are we developing? And are we getting young guys pushed up like the draft class of 22 and that class, including Jack Cochran, free agent? Because those guys are now headed to their pay year. So this is going to get real interesting, probably a spring discussion. That's what I was thinking, more of a long-term response of, like, who are we getting here? Because right now those guys aren't playing up to the level they need to play. And that's what was troubling about the Denver game.
You know, how big is it when the Chiefs find out their opponent for the divisional round, and then it's just more of a lock-in mentality? You know, how big is that, knowing they got all that rest and, you know, not knowing who they're going to play until at least tomorrow?
Well, we catch a break, Dylan, because I don't ever remember this happening either, and maybe it's recency bias. The AFC is playing game 1, 2, and 3. The NFC is playing games 4, 5, and 6. Imagine if one of our potential opponents was playing the Monday night game.
Huh,
yeah. We would have to wait all the way until Monday night to find out our opponent. So what the league has done this year, I hope by design and not by luck, because I'm losing faith in the league sometimes and some of the dumb decisions. But the point is, we'll know by 4 o'clock. And that 6-7, or actually 24-hour advantage, is really something for our team. Now, another point that I think is fascinating, and I've seen Andy Reid do this in the past, he uses this as a coaching academy. I alluded to that last week with the Week 18 game. But he also takes the bye week and splits up the staff, basically, to say it would be, Tim, you've got the Steelers, and Blake, you've got the Texans, and Dylan, you've got the Broncos, and you're going to break them down. But we're going to be ready to go no matter who it is. But he splits the staff to do that in all three phases. But then he also tests guys to see how they can handle it. And so it's a coaching academy, which is brilliant. But it's whomever. And the other part of this is, I'll repeat it, we've played all of our potential opponents since the 10th of December, which is also very peculiar, I think, in this instance.
Mitch Holtis, voice of the Chiefs. Again, don't exactly know when the next time we'll be bringing you the Chiefs Radio Network will be. Unfortunately, once again, to remind people, it's going to be the last time for the Chiefs Radio Network. We are not allowed to carry the AFC Championship game or the Super Bowl from the Chiefs Radio Network. We will bring you the Westwood One coverage, but unfortunately, that's just how the rights work. Money
Blake,
talks in the NFL.
You guys, do you still get the divisional game?
We do. Yeah.
You get
so
this week,
next week will be the last week. Next week's the last
don't
week.
Don't even get me started on that.
I was talking with Dan Israel about that, emailing back and forth. Like, you know, I understand money talks, but we need a congressman. We need to get a congressman on our side on this.
Well, the two senators of our great state are very good friends of mine. I'm about maybe unleash them on that deal. And they would. They would willingly take that on. Maybe I'll get all the other four representatives to do it, too, because it would be something non-political they could attack.
Yeah.
I feel like that
could be a bipartisan issue. We could bring America together, Mitch.
Thank you. Let's do that, buddy. That's awesome. Well, it's you guys. It's ESU, let's say. And I've heard promos like you're on now in the Kansas City market, and that's great. You guys got a network. But then you get to the national championship game or the finals to go to the national championship game, and all of a sudden now most of your listeners that you built the largest network in the NFL aren't going to get your broadcast.
Yep.
Unless they listen online. Major stupid.
It's just wrong. It's wrong, especially when the NFL is allowed to operate as a monopoly. I have no problem with Westwood One getting all of the other radio markets except for the two participating, but that's just me. Mitch Holtis, brought to you by Lyon County's number one mortgage lender, Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Contact Isabel Garcia or Jared Gurman for the credit union advantage in securing your first or next home loan. Equal housing opportunity, terms and conditions apply, subject to credit approval, NMLS number 424226. So we will find out when the Chiefs are going to play, Saturday or Sunday next week, and who they will play. Should know that by the afternoon on Sunday. So, Mitch, have a fun weekend watching some football.
Yeah, I think we're pretty much locked in on Saturday.
That's been the rumor.
Yeah, that's the rumor. I think we're, because think of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 I just said. The other thing I'll tell you as we close, and I didn't give you the second E, but you can listen to the podcast. We dump into this or jump into this way more, is the energy. Let me just give you three examples.
Please.
DeAndre Hopkins has played 13 years in the NFL. He helped to get us to this point, to this bye. DeAndre Hopkins has won 2 playoff games in 13 years. Mm-hmm. He's never won in the divisional round. Kareem Hunt, dismissed from the team and just late in the year in 2018, missed all of the stuff that we've been doing. He's now back. He's won 1 playoff game in 8 years. He's never won a divisional playoff game. Hollywood Brown's been in the league 6 years. He's never won a divisional playoff game. To me, those three guys will give an unusual jolt of energy. And you've heard, I love it when Patrick Mahomes mentions it, thinks about it, that that's another reason to attack next week, to do something for those guys. I've said it on the Minute with Mitch. They got us here. We need to get them there. And so I think that gives a unique piece of energy to a team that's taking experience and this energy into the playoffs.
Man, yeah, it would be so great for those guys to do that. I mean, you see that in hockey a lot where, like, oh, this guy finally got to hoist the Stanley Cup, and it's a big deal for them. Great for them to be able to touch the Lombardi after a win. Well, if you guys do play on Saturday, we'll be in touch. We'll figure out when to get you on, whether it's game day or earlier in the week. We'll be in touch, Mitch. Enjoy the weekend.
You got it. And we'll see how this see who's going to be waiting for us. So we'll let her rip. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs, Chiefs Radio Network again. Yeah, I was talking with Ron, our general manager, about that, and because it's harder on us. There's just there's no real way to automate it at all to get it to go on. It's a pain for me in operations, and it's just not as good of a listening experience. You know, you want to be like, can you imagine not being able to get Brian Haney for the national championship, or to,
exactly,
like if Kansas State didn't get to listen to their bowl game from Wyatt, they had to take the bowl game radio network. Like, give me a break.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
I hate it, but there's nothing that we can do about it. So speaking of bowl games, by the way, though, boy, Cotton Bowl last night. Wow, what a game.
Well, we semifinals finally, have been good.
Finally got some good football in this playoff
Does
system.
That change how people think about the – because people said, oh, this format's terrible, it was all blowouts. Like, well, I don't know. They got us to some really good semifinals.
Yeah.
I would hope not, because I like the fact that we have more teams involved that have an opportunity to maybe to get to this point. Granted, those semifinal games – or the quarters, I guess it would be, right? We're not good.
No.
There was one Arizona game. State and Texas, and that was it.
There was, you know, most of the game, I think there was one kind of average game,
but
two pretty crummy games, the one excellent game.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But these two, the Notre Dame-Penn State game was a really good game. Last night was really good, heading in the fourth quarter. Heck of a play by a really good linebacker, Sawyer from Ohio State.
Quinn Ewers
couldn't have happened to a nicer fan.
True, Quinn Ewers' roommate,
Ohio State, Notre Dame playing for the national championship. Not necessarily the two teams I was rooting for to get there, but
Texas. That's all I care about.
Yeah, now I'm just hopeful it will be just a really good football
and
game.
Also nobody from the SEC.
And
that's fine with me too.
Me too.
I think that's great, and we'll see how that all works out for the championship coming up here in a little bit. Coming up today on the KVOE network of stations, we do have quite a bit of sports for you today. We've got KU at Cincinnati, 11:30 for the pregame coverage on 1400 AM, 96.9 FM KVOE. That would be right here, what you're listening to. Wild card doubleheader today, Chargers, Texans, Steelers, Ravens, and that will be joined at kickoff right at 3:30. We'll dump out a KU postgame, bring you that right at kickoff today at 3:30 for the Chargers and the Texans. Then Kansas State will be in action against Houston, 4 o'clock pregame over on Country 101.7, 5 o'clock for the kickoff. Emporia State taking on Nebraska-Kearney today. Hornet Sports Network, a brand new UNK men's team, pretty much an entire new roster, a new coach. So it's going to be a brand new team from last year. Nebraska Kearney women's team that is trending in the right direction, 10-3 on the year. Coach Drew Johnson, the Johnsons, trying to build up that Loper program. Obviously, they had three straight 20-win seasons under the Amies, MIAA championships, three straight NCAA tournaments. So they're trying to get back to that recent success. It's a 5 o'clock pregame, Hornet Sports Network, Mix 104.9, 5:30 tip. And then we'll have the wild card triple header tomorrow, Broncos, Bills, Packers, Eagles, Washington, and the Buccaneers starting at 11:30 a.m. One final thought. The quarterback for Ohio State, former Kansas State quarterback.
Will Howard.
I wonder what – I don't know because it's not my team. I wonder how that felt in Manhattan. I'm betting most Kansas State fans happy for Will, happy to see him doing well. But at the same time, I'm wondering if they're like, man, why didn't we just try to keep this guy? And, you know, not to say that Avery Johnson isn't going to be a really good quarterback, but certainly the – Ohio State had a much better and different season than Kansas State did this year.
Absolutely.
Even though Kansas State had a great – they had a nice season.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that, but I know Kansas State was, you know, just that far away from making it into the playoffs. I don't know if he makes the difference or not. Just something I thought about while watching the game. So I will talk to you this afternoon at White. It's a late night at White, 5:30 for the tip-off, 5 o'clock pregame, normally earlier on Saturday, but it's late night at White, so I'll talk to you then. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Dylan. I'll be off next week traveling out to scenic Warrensburg, Missouri,
yes,
and the Multi for the Mules and Jennies and Emporia State. So it'll be a couple of weeks before I talk to you again. This is KVOE Emporia. We'll get you back to the Infinity Sports Network right after this. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBinAuto.com.
To be a winner, all you need is a little self-confidence.
A two-hand monster jam!